Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. For some of us, enough time has passed to let the agony of the World Series pass us by and not hurt quite so much. I know there are many fans that aren't Dodgers fans, but for a decade, myself, my friends, my altar boys, my family, we spent a lot of time in that ballpark. And really had looked forward to this team finally breaking through, and this was not the year for it to be. And sadly, however, the loss in a 7-game World Series is not, in my recollection, the darkest moment in the history of the Dodgers organization and Dodgers fans. We may recall, because I'm certainly sure that it was national news, if not international, in 2011, on opening day, when it was a game between the Dodgers and probably their most rivaled team in all of baseball, the San Francisco Giants. And this should have been a happy day. It's a day of anticipation. On the first game of the next 1.5 million that'll take place in that year, it's a time for everyone to look forward to the joy of a new season and what may come. But what had happened after the game would mark many people for many years and leave one person in particularly, his life altered forever. And that was a man by the name of Brian Stowe, who was a man from the Bay Area who drove down all the way with his friends to watch a game on opening day, very innocently. And of course, he was clad in all orange and black or brown, I'm not sure which colors they are. Steve, I'm not going to ask. Yeah, like Halloween colors, huh? Anyway, so here's this man wearing his team's colors from his city, where he was born and raised, where he worked as a paramedic, saving people's lives. But he was wearing the colors of his team in the sea of a very different color. And he was walking out into the parking lot, and words were exchanged. A fight broke out, and suddenly this man found himself pushed, after being punched, onto the ground, where then he was repeatedly kicked and beaten and left for almost half dead. If that sounds familiar in the gospel reading today. They weren't gang members that beat this guy up. They were 42-year-old fathers, one of them a baseball coach himself. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we get so far that we would be so enraged at a baseball game to act out so violently on a person because he's not wearing the same color that you're wearing? Because he lives in a different city that you live in? That he is a guest in your home? Perhaps a team that you don't care for? And that's okay. There are rivalries everywhere. But healthy rivalries are that. They're healthy. And dysfunctional people engaged in rivalries are dangerous. So this was an incredible lesson for the people that had to listen to this man nearly 9 months in a coma before he woke up and he began to learn how to speak and how to feed himself. Now, thankfully, since he is alive, if anyone has followed his life, he's a motivational speaker. He can actually walk again with the aid of crutches. And he has quite a story to tell. And his story is, of course, about bullying. And what happened to him was the extreme case. But he goes into schoolyards and high school auditoriums to talk about such lessons. Today we have before us in Luke's gospel a circumstance that is somewhat similar. If people can be so enraged simply because of the baseball hat someone else wears, what about the religious garb of someone else different than your faith? What about the national uniform of someone different than your national uniform? What about the accent that is different from our accent? Or any belief or status or circumstance of anyone else that is not exactly like us. And I use the word us collectively intentionally because us, we have many things in common, but we're also very different. In fact, I'm sure there's lots of different baseball fans in this room. I know in this church there's people that can't even stand the sport, so who cares? The family of this man who got nearly the life beat out of him care, because that was the medium which brought them together. It's beautiful, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, how Jesus Christ crafted this parable to be heard and understood. It would have been easy on the ear of his listener to hear of a righteous and beautiful Jew who saw a beaten up Samaritan on the road, and in the magnitude of his justice and his glory and his love for humankind, he would go to the side and he would minister unto him because they were seen as so much more superior to these people. So of course they would go and help out the little guy who's struggling. But Jesus knows their hearts and he knows our hearts. An understanding that the people of Samaria culturally were looked upon as incredibly beneath that of the Jewish world, and especially religiously, they regarded as absolute heretics, not to even be thought of, let alone spoken to, let alone touch and minister unto. And knowing the weaknesses of our hearts sometimes, this is how our Lord approaches the concept and the question and the answers of who is our neighbor. And so here is this righteous man, this glorified man that God has touched and kissed and loved and exalted above all others. He's the one who finds himself left half dead. Not in the parking lot of a baseball stadium, but on the side road of a long journey to Jericho. And it's the Samaritan that's traveling, having had two people that should have known and acted better pass by. God's work is left to this man. And the work he does brilliantly and he does faithfully. He doesn't care about colors or accents or faiths or clothing or rivalries or history. He sees a man who is suffering. This is the commandment of God, that no matter who the other is or how the other is defined, no matter how closely associated that other is, or if they are just miles away, distances away, the entire world away, God looks down and He sees us all as He's created us all, as He continues to bless us all and challenges each and every one of us to look at each member of society through His lens, not through the lens of pettiness that sometimes we can do. And again, that beautiful day, opening day, turned to such tragedy and such sadness over the silliest of reasons. Many lives destroyed because we can't see the other sometimes. The other is us. We are the other, not only to someone else, but especially to God. I pray on this day that we've received a message of the Good Samaritan, probably the most well-known passage throughout the entirety of the New Testament canon, most especially probably the most well-known parable of someone who sees someone suffering, not knowing them, and perhaps in other circumstances in life, not wanting to know them. Yet the circumstances compel us to be brought together. And the circumstance which compels us as Christians to be brought together is our suffering Lord placed on a cross and in a tomb and rising on the third day for the sake of all of His creation. So let us be also accountable to that message, but worthy of that message, that we can always look to the roadside, to the rivalry, to to the other side of the stadium or the boardroom table or wherever we find ourselves, gazing upon what the world sees as an adversary, but who Christ sees as a brother or sister. Amen.